Welcome to the It's About Time podcast. It's About Time is a interesting name. It's got a backstory to it, which we can tell you guys about. I have no idea how to start this, but I'm Nate.
I'm Josh.
Welcome to DC Sports Podcast. We're going to be talking mainly tonight about the Nationals and the Redskins, but we are going to be talking about the Capitals and Wizards as needed. Maybe even the Orioles in the next... There's seven to eight years.
There's no point.
None?
None.
Oh. Well, you are an Orioles fan.
Sadly.
A lot of people could say that about being a Redskin fan as well. So it's a sad situation, but we march on.
We do.
Yeah. The It's About Time, it's got several meetings, but the biggest one is the greatest sports moment that the greatest Redskin moment that the two of us have ever been a part of. We were in Canton. And we watched Art Monk and Darryl Green get inducted into the Hall of Fame. But the 4+ minute standing ovation for Art Monk and then the chant of It's About Time. Something I'll never forget.
No, definitely not. Well deserved.
Well deserved. And was really amazing. But the second part is it's about time that Josh and I are sitting down and doing something with our lengthy sports talks that are just for us. But we thought that we'd bore you guys as well.
Yeah, I mean, what better way to do it than share it with the world? Our meaningless babble.
100%. And then, obviously, it's about time it applies this year. The Caps finally claiming the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it was. I mean, everybody thought, finally, this is going to be the worst year they're going to have. And sure enough.
Emotional moment for you.
Champions.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to react. I didn't know what it felt like. I was 8 when we won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was following the Caps. I'm a DC sports fan. I would say I'm more of a passive Caps fan. I'm not active. I don't watch a lot of regular season games, although I guess I'll start if we're going to be doing this weekly. But I do root for them. I don't root for anybody else. And I was happy, but you were the one. You were my the thing that I said. Hey, I was checking in with you constantly. Are you all right? How you feeling?
Explain not good.
It to me. Yeah.
It's a very odd feeling. I have a coworker who's a Penguins fan, unfortunately. And I was asking him, like, how do you handle this? What's winning like? Just... You're constantly waiting for the shoe to drop, and somehow all the pucks bounced the right way, and I got to see the Stanley Cup come down Pennsylvania Avenue.
And we don't know. I mean, we don't know what that feels like. I went to school in Boston, and I saw more Patriots wins than I'd like to think about. I saw, which was actually pretty cool at the time, the Red Sox win their first World Series. And that was cool. We didn't have a team in D.C. at the time, and I had kind of lost touch with the Orioles. But nothing would compare for me to either a Redskins Super Bowl or a Nationals World Series. But you got it with the Stanley Cup, and that's if I could just bottle up what you felt that one night, just to feel it once, like a glass of whiskey, like I'm enjoying right now. I'd sell it. It's got to be an amazing feeling.
It was. Yeah. It's just pure and utter shock for a while.
Did part of you feel like this can't be real?
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
And I worked downtown and got to be around that atmosphere every day, and it was cool to see the city come together.
Yeah, and the coolest part about fans going down, even during the road games, there were no arrests, and it was relatively peaceful. Which I don't know if the same would be said if it was a Redskins deal. But where do you go if it's the Redskins? Do you go to Ashburn? Do you go to Landover? Where do you go? Where do you congregate? I think you'd go to Ashburn because screw FedEx Field.
But, I guess. I mean, why not just circle around RFK?
Oh, God. One day they'll be back on that site. They should just refurbish the old stadium. They can't sell out FedEx now. Anyway, that's a conversation for another day. Let's jump in. That was a good way to start it. I felt good about that. Let's jump in. Let's talk about the Nats. As of last night in the game tonight, which is Friday, August 4th, the game tonight is postponed. They're 55-53, 5 games back of the Phillies. They were 7 games out a week ago, so they've picked up 2 games. How do you feel?
I don't know. I would say that I feel better this week than last week, right? What an interesting week for them. I mean, you pick up the Washington Post this morning and you see that Murphy's hitting... what, 410 over his last 60 or 70 at-bats, and that Bryce Harper finally hit 230. He's got his average all the way up to 230. So the fact that makes news here is kind of sad.
I saw that. Last 64 plate appearances for Murphy, 411 batting average. He's got a 1.112 OPS and three homers. And Bryce, since July 7th, I think the same stat you saw, 292 batting average, 951 OPS, and he hit his fifth home run last night since July 7th. So, and his batting, I've got it written right here, batting average now at 230. We're jumping ahead a little bit, but in my notes, but where does he finish, you think? If he's at 230 now, does he stay there? Does he get to 250?
He's got to get to 250, right? I mean, it's statistically, you can't be that bad, right?
Not when you've been consistent. I mean, what's his career? 275, somewhere in that neighborhood? He's got to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think my biggest problem with him is it's not a lack of talent. Like, it's not a workout. Like, as much as I might disagree with FP Santangelo all the time, he is right about Bryce Harper. That dude's head moves 6-7 inches. Like, if you go back and look at, for those of you that remember Jim Edmonds, he didn't even stride. Like, Bryce is more than strong enough to be able to hit the ball out any which way he wants to go. Like, why? It's almost like he has to know, everybody has to be telling him that, right?
You would think so. You would think, I think, I don't know if it's a problem, but his main hitting coach is his dad. It's worked so far for him. I mean, getting him to where he is, he's on the cusp of the largest contract in baseball history, but you're shaking your head, but maybe he is.
I mean,
especially
he probably
if
is.
Gets hot, yeah.
You're absolutely right. I'm sure he will get it just based off marketing value and being able to sell jerseys. And, you know, he wins home run derbies. He hustles. I mean, he's a personality. Whether or not that translates into wins or World Series wins, I don't think so at this point.
So you would say, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, you'd say he's not a winner.
At this point, no.
He's a regular season winner. He's
sure.
Not a playoff winner currently.
Sure, but the division's also been terrible.
Division's been terrible. He's performed in the playoffs, though.
Okay.
All right. It's not just him, though. You were talking about stride. Murphy has no stride.
Right.
Lifts his foot up, puts it down, and he's got more than enough pop to get it out. His issue's been more about his knee, trusting his knee, getting down into a squat, because he sits on his legs more. FP says that a lot. He sits on his legs more than just about any hitter you're going to see. He's in a really pronounced crouch.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like Jeff Bagwell, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like he's squatting when he hits.
Yeah. And if Bagwell had a bad knee,
it'd be hard to hit.
It would be.
I mean, you're going to lose a lot of power. So I think he's finally starting to be healthy.
And I mean, the lineup's too good not to score runs.
Yeah.
It's really. You look at the lineup they had going tonight would have been Eaton leading off, Turner second. I believe they had Rendon batting third. And Rendon is probably the best pure hitter on the team.
Absolutely.
Harper batting fourth. I think they had Zimmerman fifth and then Soto sixth. And we talked about this the other night. How do you have a guy with an on-base percentage over 400 batting sixth? My only explanation to that is Davey wants to go left, right, left. That's the only thing I can think of.
The only other thing I can think of is he just looks at it as experience. You know, you've got a ton of experience in Eaton. You've got Turner, who, again, more big league experience than Soto. I just don't understand. You look at that guy, and he's like a throwback, right? He chokes up. He just tries to put the ball in play. He doesn't swing. I mean, he knows the strike. He's 19 years old, and he knows the strike zone much better than Bryce Harper. Like, it's really impressive. And that kid came out of nowhere, right? I mean,
totally. 30-some games last year in the minor leagues before he got hurt. And he's 19.
Right. And he, like, to have that eye at 19 is crazy. It's crazy. And he's only going to get more powerful. He's only going to learn how to use... I mean, he already knows how to use the... He can hit line to line. He has enough power to go out backside. He's fast. I mean, as long as... And it doesn't seem so far in, what, 230 plate appearances that pitchers have figured him out yet. He's still hitting 306. Still has over a 400 on base percentage.
How do you figure out a guy, though, that knows a strike zone that well and is willing to... I mean, he's got more hits to left field than he does to right field.
Right.
So how do you figure a guy like that out? You try to jam him inside, he's going to put you in the upper deck in right field.
Yeah, and insane power.
Oh.
Bryce almost, power.
Oh, even sometimes more than Bryce.
Right.
Bryce's homer last night was a shot, but still... Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I was thinking the other day, and I wonder what you think about this. The only reason we know who Soto is this year, we knew who he was on the periphery. This is a guy up and coming, and he was storming through the minors. But they needed an outfielder.
Right, and Robles got hurt.
So the Robles injury, and again, we're jumping way ahead in my timeline, but whatever, we'll get back to it. The Robles injury, Could that be the catalyst to Harper not being back next year? Because they don't really need him.
They don't. There's no point to spend that kind of money. Because you know what? You could end up like the Marlins. You have a $350 million contract on your hands, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, we're going to sell off everything. Look what the Rangers did with A-Rod after they signed him. What did he last 2 years there, I think? Won an MVP. I'm fairly certain he won an MVP in Texas.
No, he won an MVP in Texas. I think he might have won two. Shooting from the hip here, guys. I don't really feel like looking that up. He'd won at least one MVP. He talked about it, actually, on a thing I was listening to the other day, that he won an MVP, but they finished in last place.
Right, which is meaningless.
And then he got traded to the Yankees.
Yep. Those contracts don't last. Like, they don't... They're albatrosses.
Pujols.
Yeah.
Josh Hamilton. Pujols is a productive big leaguer, but he's not worth what he's making.
No, he got paid. I think baseball is the one sport where you really get paid on prior service. You're not going to get your big contract. You're going to make more money on the decline than you are hitting your free agent year at 26, right? For the most part.
I was going to say you were. This past offseason painted a different picture. Look at Mark Reynolds. Couldn't find a job until the season started.
Right.
You know, baseball's going younger, cheaper, controllable talent. But I agree with you. In history, because you have to wait that 7 years to get the free agent contract, you're getting paid on past performance. Bryce and Manny Machado, are the anomaly to that because they're hitting free agency so young. Bryce is 25. I believe Manny's the same age. Around the same age?
I think he's 26.
26? Yeah. Still, they have 6 years left in their prime, seven. They're not even really in their prime yet, which is scary to think about with Manny. I mean, the guy is just a beast. But, I 100% agree with you there. We talked about this. I posed this question to you the other day in text. Of these three players, you can only re-sign two, Harper, Rendon, and Turner. And your response to me was Rendon and Turner all day because you could probably get them for as much as it would cost Harper.
If not less.
And you have Robles, Soto, and Eaton under team control. Eaton's under team control through 2021. And you've got Robles and Soto 6 more years.
Right. So, I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I think, then again, we're jumping around here, that the fact that they were at least willing to talk and then it came out that they were listening to trade offers on Harper is interesting to me. I think that Rizzo coming out and saying, of course we're not going to trade him, really tied his fate to Bryce. He loves Bryce. That's his baby, right? I also think he's highly invested in Davey Martinez now because of, I mean, what the hell is going on with Sean Kelly and Brandon Kinsler?
Point one on my outline. What the hell happened this week? Kelly and Kinsler both disrespected the club according to the GM. Or according to reports. Rizzo came out and said it about Kelly. Nobody came out and put their name to it talking about Kinsler. But the deal with Kinsler, they said, they called him a squeaky wheel. That was the report. That the talk about clubhouse issues, they thought most of it was coming from him. And they were trying to get rid of the negative vibe. And then Kelly, that very night, spikes his glove after giving up a two-run shot, but gave up 3 runs in the inning. And stared into the dugout. And you said Rizzo tied himself to Davey. And one of my questions here is, Davey weak?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because why that? I mean, they're having players only meetings. You're having Rizzo come out and handle these conversations and talk about how, you know, you've got internal leaks, you've got Kelly overreacting and stuff. Like, absolutely. I mean, Davey, that stuff should all be handled in house. Which is clearly isn't. If Kinsler was the leak, which from everything I've seen, I don't think he was. I mean, the reporter that came out that they accused of leaking it called Theo Epstein and said, absolutely, it wasn't him. So I mean, he's having a bad year. You're paying Sean Kelly $5.5 million a year to be a innings eater. Like, he's not going to pitch in high leverage situations. So to me, I mean, it might have just been an excuse to get rid of him, to shake it up a little bit.
Kinsler was I think it was multifaceted. I think it had a lot to do with his contract because he's under contract next year for a sizable number. They wanted to trim payroll. I think another thing is they had a couple guys in AAA that they were like, we want to bring them up, but for once, our bullpen's a strength, and we don't have room for them.
Well, I mean, you have four closers, right?
Well, you had four closers. Right. Now you've got three.
I mean, you have, and honestly, you have two of the three that aren't pitching well. I mean, Ryan Matson's garbage.
He is. He is. I said to you the other day, I think that I would trust him more in October than I would Kinsler.
I agree with you.
Velocity plays, and he's got velocity.
He does. He does.
And experience.
I just don't think, like, I think once you're a closer and you get moved into these sixth, seventh, eighth inning roles, like, you just don't get up for him. Yeah, I think that you're just like, oh, whatever. Like, you know, you go out, you cash your check.
Herrera.
Yeah, that's that was weird.
It was a good trade. We were together when the trade was made. It was a good trade. The thing, he just, I agree. I think he's one of those guys. If his blood pressure isn't at a certain point in a save situation, he has a hard time getting up for it. But the one thing I hopefully take solace in, if they could go on a run and make it to October, is I think that that will be pressure enough for him. And he's been there as an eighth inning guy, setting up for the Royals, setting up for Wade Davis.
Wade Davis, yep. Yeah. So I mean, he has pitched in those high. Those are what I would consider high leverage, seventh, eighth innings. I mean, they're not right now. These are meaningless innings, although they're huge for the Nats. Sadly,
yeah. No, they're huge, and but the one thing too, you talk about potential dysfunction. Davies weak. The one thing that I think about is the Yankees traded a decent reliever, because they just don't have room on their roster, and they had guys they wanted to call up, and they wanted the international slot money, which is big in the offseason. And they didn't catch any flack, A, because they are so far ahead of everybody else other than the Red Sox. They're going to make the playoffs. Their farm system's the best in baseball, so nobody's questioning what they're doing. They're actually saying they don't have – they have so many good players, they can't protect them all on the 40-man roster.
Right.
So might as well trade somebody now, like a Warren, who they traded, and get something back, even if it's just international slot money. The Nats do it to free up payroll this year and next to be able to bring up a Wander Suero, who they really like, and who's had good numbers, and is equivalent to a Kinsler. But also maybe Kinsler was a bit too noisy in the clubhouse. Maybe.
Sure. I just don't think I don't think that you have... And you bring this up all the time, right? There is no Jason Worth. Ryan Zimmerman's the face of that franchise, and he's a mute. I mean, he's not rah-rah. He's not Max, right?
No, he's not.
100%. And as goofy as this sounds, Max is that for the pitchers? For the starting pitchers. There's not a reliever. There's not a veteran reliever in there that seems to want to take that. And you have no position players anymore, right? That's kind of what you talked about with Bryce. Like, if these stories are true and he is bad for the clubhouse and he is getting preferential treatment, do you think that happened when Jason Worth was there? Absolutely not. There's no way Jason Worth would have let that happen. He would have humbled him.
Case in point, Trey Turner gets benched for not running out of bunt several weeks earlier. Harper hit a scorcher to first, one hop the first baseman, never left the batter's box, and he gets a quote-unquote talking to.
Completely unacceptable.
Last Saturday, they lose to the Marlins in extra innings. JT Realmuto, game-winning hit. And what does Bryce say? Possibly one of the stupidest things you can say when you have two catchers in your clubhouse. One who's, well, they're both probably really liked by the team, but Wieters, the pitching has gotten better since Wieters got back. He is certainly valuable as a receiver.
A gold glove.
Gold glove receiver, calls a great game. The pitchers trust him, and Bryce says, wouldn't happen if he's on our club. Now, come on, man. Like, anybody else says it. Sean Kelly spiked his glove on the mound. He's gone the next day.
Right.
If Harper takes a dump in right field, he's not going anywhere. Now, certainly your superstars, it's not a perfect world. They get away with things that other people don't, but it can't be that glaring. It just can't be.
You know, I guess, so here's my biggest issue, right? And I know this is a completely, totally unfair comparison.
Sure.
3 years ago, it was a comparison. You look at Mike Trout, right? Mm-hmm. We're not in the LA market. I rarely stay up for late games. Mm-hmm. But you never hear stories like this. Okay. He hustles, he plays, and he's just the best player in baseball. Probably the best player in a generation. You hear stories about Giancarlo Stanton. Is literally like an on-the-dot guy. He hits the same time every day. He gets into the gym at the same time every day. Other than that, no crazy stories, right? terrible defender, but he tries his best.
Aaron Judge, same deal.
Just seems like a big teddy bear, right?
I was going to say, not terrible defender. I meant same deal in that there's no negative stories about him. And it's funny you talk about Trout. The worst thing they have to say about him is that he doesn't sell himself enough.
Right.
It came out after the All-Star break. Manfred said something, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, said something. He goes, if he's ready to be the face of baseball, we're ready to help him. And it insinuated he's not doing enough. And the Angels had to come out and defend him, but that wasn't him.
Right.
He's quiet. He's
just going to hit 290, hit 30 home runs, driving 100 runs batted in, score 100 runs, and steal 20 bases a year.
And win
a down year.
And win the MVP just about every year in the American League.
Right. And then this year could quite possibly have the best statistical year in terms of war ever. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, ever.
Better than Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Better than Mickey Mantle or Joe DiMaggio. 100%. No. I agree with you. With Bryce, you take the good, and there's a lot of good. I mean, the power numbers are great. He walks a lot. His on-base percentage is good. I happen to think that he's a pretty good defender with a cannon for an arm. Advanced defensive metrics have not said that about him this year. I disagree. I think he's a pretty good defender. And he's also has not said anything negative and has also handled well jumping back and forth from right to center. He's in center when Eaton plays and he's in right when Taylor plays. And that's been fine by me. I haven't had an issue with that.
I agree. Now, here's something for you. I'm going to throw this out there.
Okay. I'll catch it.
A player. Player A. The last 3 years.
By the way, I really like these. When you do an A and a B, I like these. Go ahead.
Player A. The last 3 years, 42 home runs, 102 RBIs. 2017, 43 RBIs. I'm sorry, 43 home runs, 110 RBIs. This year so far, 29 home runs, 84 RBIs. Pretty consistently 250 hitter. 247, 247, and skyrocketing to 256 this year.
All right.
Makes $10 million a year.
Okay.
Do you pay him or Bryce? He's 31.
What position does he play? Same thing, outfield?
Yep. And can you guess who that player is?
Oh, man. You put me on the spot. I was thinking Mark Reynolds for a minute, but I know that Reynolds has not hit that many home runs. And Reynolds' average last year was actually better. I want to say that kid from Texas, but I'm wrong. Who is it?
It's not. It's Chris Davis. The other Chris Davis.
Oh, from Oakland?
Yes.
Oh, I'd pay Chris Davis.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bargain. He's on a one-year, $10 million deal this year. He's obviously going to get paid something next year. But at 32, you're not going to pay him $25, $30 million.
He's 32?
He'll be 32 next year.
I did not know that. Okay, yeah. Then I'd pay Bryce. He's 6 years older than Bryce. I'd pay Bryce. Now, if it's give each one a 2-year contract, I'd probably pay Chris Davis. And I'd save money.
I think so. I think one of the warnings that I've learned from being an Orioles fan is Chris Davis, right?
That Chris Davis.
Chris Davis. The Chris Davis that plays first base.
Uh-huh.
2 huge years. Huge years.
And got paid.
And took a discount to stay at home because of the PED suspension, which kind of hurt them in the playoffs.
Because he couldn't play in the playoffs.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sitting on a $150 million albatross with a guy that you had 2 years, right? But 2 consecutive years. Bryce doesn't even have 2 consecutive years of all-star level production.
No, I mean, he was really good last year.
Well, I mean,
until he slipped on first base. But, but it happened. That happened to Ronald Acuna this year.
That's true. I mean, there could be a banana peel in right center field.
There could.
Who
be.
Knows?
It could be a pothole. You never know. But no, okay.
Sprinkler and head. He's over. Game
since
over.
17. He was the best player in the National League. He was on track to win his second MVP until he got hurt. I wish I had the numbers. I don't want to look them up to take too long. 15. Obviously, one of the greatest seasons in the last generation. No, last 10 years. It was a great season. It was a 10 more season. Anyway, 2015. 2016, he didn't say he was hurt. A lot of people thought he was hurt. This year has been interesting. His batting average is low, but every other number is pretty good. On-base percentage is good. His power numbers are there. He's going to hit probably, he's going to get for the first time, which is amazing. First time in his career, he'll probably hit 100 RBIs.
Right, which is insane.
It's nuts.
How do you pay someone
that's never
$300 million? Don't tell me to hold on. How do you pay someone $300 million
that doesn't get 100 RBIs?
Right.
I don't know.
That hits 230, 250.
Does it matter that he's a... You're going to kill me for saying this. Does it matter that he's a transcendent talent?
Is he, though?
He puts butts in the seats. Kids love him. He's going to build a generation of baseball fans here if he stays here. He's Cal Ripken, but not Cal
Ripken. That's insulting to Cal Ripken.
Wait a minute. I hadn't finished my thought. He's Cal Ripken, but, I mean, he's Cal Ripken. He's not as good as Cal Ripken on the field yet. But I mean, he's Cal Ripken or Tony Gwynn if he stays his whole career. Ryan Zimmerman wanted to be that, but he got hurt all the time. Didn't want to be that. That was what he was lined up to be for the Nationals. And he kind of is. He's the face of the franchise. He was the first big star here. First draft pick with the Nationals. But Harper has a chance to be all that and more. Scherzer came here as a free agent.
I would be more inclined to say Anthony Rendon could be that.
Rendon doesn't have Harper's personality, his flair. Rendon hates cameras, doesn't hate the media, doesn't like talking to the media.
Correct. So I think that's maybe that's where we're getting misguided here. Like, how can you possibly compare players from the 80s with no social media, no Twitter accounts, no Facebook, like Tony Gwynn and Cal Ripken, to Bryce Harper? I mean, I'd say that's absurd. Imagine Derek Jeter's brand if he grew up in the Facebook era. Do you think he has a MySpace page? Is that when he started?
MySpace is probably it, yeah.
Is he friends with Tom?
I think he's probably the only friend left for Tom.
Right. I mean, I think that you're saying that he's a transcendent talent in terms of the total package, right? Like, he has the marketability. I think, though, that I just care about it on the field. I just want a World Series. I don't care. And honestly, he's kind of a dick.
No, he is. And
that's that's like, you can market a dick. Like, it's controversial, right? It's no press is bad press, right? So he's always going to have his name out there for good and bad reasons. I just don't think, like, all the good that you see other people doing or all the good that you don't hear about people doing. Like, I dislike LeBron James so much, but you cannot say that he's a terrible human being. That man has done so much for everyone.
He's a phenomenal human being, and he's one of the greatest basketball players that's ever lived.
Sure. He absolutely is.
Okay, all right, just checking.
It's a personal thing, right? I don't like the guy.
Sure.
Like,
and it's personal with you and Bryce. You don't like Bryce. You've never liked Bryce.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And same reason why I didn't like RG3.
Don't open that can of worms. We'll talk about him at another point, but... No, I agree with you. And I think I defend Bryce more. And one thing you guys will learn is that I'm more of a homer. Josh is willing to go outside the box a little bit. He's willing to call people out. And I don't disagree. I happen to defend Bryce in one thing. The guy has been under the microscope since he was 16 years old.
He's in Washington. He's under the microscope because his parents chose that path for him.
Totally agree.
You don't live in Vegas. Here's a perfect example, right? He grew up playing with Chris Bryant. Mm-hmm. Where's the microscope on Chris Bryant?
He grew up playing with Eric Fetty. We didn't know who Eric Fetty was until he was drafted by the Nats. I agree with you. He was put out there, but he's also, at the time, I mean, at 16 years old, he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Thanks to social media, right? Was it Tropicana, where he's hitting balls into the roof?
He's a 16-year-old playing with 20-year-olds, and he's hitting bombs, and... No, 100%. And I happen to think that for the most part, especially the last several years, he's handled himself remarkably well. The first few years, he was 19, 20, 21. I mean, if I was held to account for everything that I said at that age, I'd probably be in jail. I don't know. They can't put you in jail for words, can they? In Russia, they can.
I don't know. I guess I'd be lucky I have a job.
Yeah.
I mean, we're alive. At least I'm still here. Right.
Right. Alive. That's
people. Everybody makes mistakes. But he gets paid a lot of money to make mistakes.
But on the other flip side of the coin, this is the last thing we'll talk about Bryce because we've got a lot that we want to get to. I don't want to make this... We could talk about Bryce for hours. One thing I saw today that was really shocking is that if you go to Baseball Reference and you pull up the Nationals page, they give you the top 12 players for the Nationals. And I'm pretty sure it's by war.
It should be, yeah.
Yeah. Harper's not one of the 12.
Right.
But it's shock. It's beginning of the year, that would be shocking.
To me, it's not, though.
But in the beginning of the year, could you have named me 12 guys that were better than him?
Brad Wilkerson. Just kidding.
Oh, Jesus. That is Christian, a throwback.
Christian Guzman.
Dimitri Young.
Yep, there we go.
There you go.
Hey, I believe he won Comeback Player of the Year as a National, didn't he?
He did. And then he got a 2-year contract. I actually saw an article today. He got a 2-year, or not an article, it was like a post on Twitter. He got a 2-year extension with the Nationals and played something like 50 games and then was done. His career was over.
But now here's the question.
Okay.
Does Baseball Reference, and again, once this gets popular enough, we'll have some little guy running around feeding us all this information. Yeah. Does Baseball Reference, and did we inherit the Expos? Because you cannot forget Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the top 12 players right now in this season, 2018.
Oh, okay.
So that's even more shocking. Maybe?
Not really.
Okay. All right. Let's move on because Bryce, you know, he could be a black hole. We could just keep talking about him. And you and I are probably never going to agree on him.
No, no. Yeah. It'll be nice to see him go.
Okay.
I disagree. They should have traded. They should have got something for him.
That's another bag of worms. Can of worms, whatever it is. But let's talk about Davey. We already did say, you said Davey's weak. I think that Rizzo having to come out and make the statement, I don't think Kinsler was so much of a statement. I happen to think that it was more about dumping salary. Like, if it was a pie chart, I think that it was 60% dumping salary and maybe 30%, well, maybe, and then 2020 of 20%, they had other relievers they wanted to bring up that could perform like him. And the other 20% would be the guy just won't shut his mouth.
Right. I mean, it's the sacrificial lamb, right? You basically want to come in and Lou Brown it in Major League and just tear through the clubhouse and prove a point. I'm going to shake things up. And so far this week it's worked, right?
And
it's
been craziness. Well, but they've also
scored three touchdowns and two safeties.
They've also played the Mets and the Reds.
Great teams.
The Reds have been pretty good the last month and a half, but they've played one game against them. The Mets are just absolutely abysmal. They're terrible.
At least we're not the Mets.
I'd put that on a bumper sticker. At least we're not the Mets. I would say at least we're not the Browns, but I think the Browns might be pretty decent this year. I had a bet with you last year at the end, when was it? At some point in the offseason, I said I would make you a bet the Browns make the playoffs. I'd still stand by that.
And I won't take that bet.
Not now.
I wouldn't take it back then either.
Because you didn't want to take my money?
Yeah, I felt bad. I feel bad about it. All
right. Saying it right now, podcast number one, Browns are going to make the playoffs in 2018.
I think they can win 7 games.
7? With Tyrod Taylor, quarterback?
I think you're going to see a mixture of both. Tyrod Taylor is not going to lose you a game. He is not going to win you a game either. Virginia Tech fans know that.
Yeah, so do Buffalo fans. So, but the big statement was Kelly. Because it was clear, they showed it on the video. He not only spiked his glove, he stared in the dugout.
I mean, he was sending a message, as did the Nationals.
Yeah, like, but he looked at Davey, or he looked in the general direction of Davey, like, we're up 24 runs, I shouldn't be here, which is not the right way to think. But he felt confident enough that he could do that.
I think that they should have just let Zimmerman pitch. If he can't throw the ball from third to first, imagine how much hilarity would ensue with him trying to pitch. It would be funnier than Jose Reyes hitting him and then him fake charging the mound.
Oh, the funny part about Jose Reyes was the fact that he balked on every single pitch when there was a runner on base.
Right, and he was completely disinterested with actually pitching. You have Anthony Rizzo, who's like doing somersaults to get out there. And then Jose Reyes is like, why me?
Well, Reyes did say that he had two goals or dreams or what have you. One, I think, was to play center field, which he did last year. And the other was to pitch. I think he was into it. I don't think he knew that you had to come set before you went home.
That's minor detail, right?
Well, it's funny. I think I'm really glad that the umpires, it would have been horrible if the umpire was like, nope, it's a balk, and moved him out. I mean, that would have been terrible. But,
I mean, it should have been the poker shot clock, right?
Yeah.
It would have just been one after another, just directing traffic out there. But I mean, you talk about people that are pitching. Wilson Contreras was hilarious. They interviewed him. And they were like, you know, why aren't you putting down signs? He said nobody throws hard enough or has a second pitch, so it's not that hard. And I believe their most effective non-pitcher pitcher is their backup catcher, who actually does throw a curveball. And Contreras is like, he doesn't throw it hard enough. I could see it coming.
Yeah, you can't cross somebody up when you're throwing 65 miles an hour.
Right.
Yeah. If you can't catch that in a major league, you got an issue. So is Davey one and done?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Well, how about this?
If they don't make a run.
Absolutely. You have to get rid of him.
Really?
Here's what I think will happen.
Okay.
I think that, honestly, what I would do if I was the Nationals, I would move on, and you'll completely disagree with this. I will move.
For those of you not here, Josh just fell over.
I'd move on.
We'll edit this out.
Kind of hurt.
I can imagine.
I would move on from Davey, Rizzo, and Bryce. It hasn't worked this, you know, you've...
Rizzo?
Yeah, absolutely.
Rizzo's one of the best general managers in baseball.
Is he? How many World Series has he won?
Oh, for fuck's sake, dude. That's the first curse language. I apologize. But really, he's one of the best general managers in baseball. He would not be a free agent general manager for more than a week.
Sure. Okay, but like, why? Here's a perfect example. George McPhee, top five general manager. Proved it this year, right?
Yeah.
You had to do something different, though. McPhee, it's the definition. Yes. It's the definition of insanity.
Did they have to do something different with Bruce Boudreau? Was it his fault?
It was his style of play.
Okay. They finally clicked. And what happened?
They won a Stanley Cup.
And their coach is gone.
Yeah. All right. And he also went to a team, assuming that he was getting one of the top five players in hockey, who's now in Canada.
But he got his five-year deal.
Right, which is insane. They way overpaid him, which is fine. And Todd Reirden has been in the wings for 3 years. So that's why I think that you get continuity. That's a whole other conversation for another time. Sure. I think they spent the money that they were willing to spend.
Okay. Here's my thing about Davey and Rizzo. Rizzo has had his hands tied when hiring a manager. He just has. There's nothing that he can do. The learners do not put stock in paying money. Davey Martinez is the, I want to say, if not the lowest, one of the lowest paid managers in all baseball. I think he's making $900,000 a year. Dusty came here, made $2 million a year for 2 years. It was half of what he was making with the Reds. And all he wanted was $4 million. And they went, nah, go kick rocks.
Well, I don't think, I thought that was a great move.
You did.
He doesn't win. He does not win in the playoff. He does weird stuff.
I don't disagree that they lost two heartbreaking game fives in a row with him. They also won the division going away.
They did.
And they would not have, they would, I think, if not in the lead, they would be tied or a game back right now if he was a manager.
I think they should have fired him at the All-Star break and acquired Buck Showalter.
Are you talking about Davey?
Yeah. I think you trade for a manager in the middle of the year, completely change the landscape of baseball.
There's Josh coming out of left field. No, I think the biggest thing is this job is already toxic. It's toxic. Here's the thing. This is the thought I had, and I really think this encompasses how the learners feel about management. The Nationals, since, and this is just because it's a stat I've heard, since Bryce Harper was called up in April of 2012, are the second winningest team in all of baseball behind only the Dodgers. The second winningest team. The Dodgers have had two managers. They had Mattingly, who couldn't win in the playoffs, and then they had Roberts. The Nationals are on their fifth manager. Davey, Matt Williams. No, they're on their fourth manager. Sorry. Davey, Matt Williams, Dusty, and now Davey.
So what that says to me is you're not pulling the right strings in the postseason.
So you don't mind them changing managers every year or every 2 years?
I don't care until it works, right?
Okay.
I mean, you can't... It's great, right? Congratulations, you win 95 games a year.
But what good manager is going to come here if you're firing people after a year?
Well, I think that...
And you're not going to pay them $5, $6 million. Who's going to come here?
No one.
You're just going to keep trying rookie managers?
Sure. You're going to have two... You have two great options next year. I guarantee... You have two, if you want to pay them. So then,
if you want to pay them.
Right, so then, where's Rizzo in that fight?
Who are the two?
Eventually, you have Matheny.
You think he's a great manager?
I don't think he's a great manager. I think he's a decent manager. I would take him over Davey Martinez. And I would shell out, because I've seen it, and he gets so much from his team, and I'm a homer, and I love Buck Showalter, but that dude pieced together playoff runs with teams that weren't the best.
Could they you imagine him with the Nationals roster?
Sure.
I'm saying, though, I mean, the Nationals roster has been better than the Orioles roster over the last 6 years, and Buck's gotten almost as much out of the Orioles that the Nationals, almost as much, not right. as much, but almost as much.
I mean, I don't know what you, I don't know what you do, but you can't continue to plot this course forward. That's why I think you deviate from Harper too.
The Harper thing, I think you can, and that's going to be the thing we get to in a minute. But the Harper thing, I think you can. But let me ask you this: I'm going to read you some real quick statistics about the Nats. I mean, we're at like almost 40 minutes already, but they have a plus 67 run differential, which isn't hateful. A lot of that was helped by winning by 21 runs the other night. They're seventh in the National League in batting average. They have the third fewest strikeouts offensively. They have the fifth most walks. They're fourth in on-base percentage, sixth in OPS. They're sixth in runs per game. So that's offense. So their offense is, you know, in the top five or six.
Right, but timely hitting.
That's the problem, right?
I mean, it's simple. To me, it's simple baseball things,
runners
right?
in scoring position.
Absolutely. It's not... and
hitting with two outs.
Correct. So your runners in scoring position, you're hitting with two outs. They don't move runners over. There's zero outs, one outs, runner on third, and it's strikeout, strikeout. Or strikeout, ground ball to third. Something that does not score the run. There's no clutch hitting. And maybe that changes. I shouldn't say there's no clutch hitting. I mean, there has been some big hits. You know, you've found two diamonds in the rough, really, in Adams and Mark Reynolds. I mean, you're getting more out of them. I don't, and this, I'm sure we'll get into this another time. I don't know how Ryan Zimmerman touches the field. He doesn't deserve to, in my mind. Again, I think that goes back to what we talked about earlier, is he's out there because of prior service.
And money he's making currently.
I don't care. I want to win.
No,
right?
And that's why he wasn't going to start. He didn't start yesterday, and he wasn't going to start tonight.
Good.
Because Adams has been amazing.
Right, but I guess who's making the lineups? Is it Rizzo?
No, I can't. That's a no, I don't think so.
Okay, I was just asking for a friend.
Which friend would that be?
I don't know. Don't worry about it.
Okay. You look at their pitching. They're sixth in ERA, which is high for them. They're usually among the top two or three. But that's total team. That's not just starting pitchers. They've given up the fourth fewest amount of runs per game, 4.01.
Right, but it's also, again, it's not timely pitching.
No.
You're not getting that shutdown inning when you need it. You know, they're lucky. And again, maybe this changes the course of the season, right? But when Jose Reyes hit that ball off of Madsen this week, I was like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I mean, that ball was tattooed.
It was.
On a guy hitting, what, 198?
But then they scored, the Nationals scored the following inning, which they haven't done this
year. Right, which is very abnormal. So maybe things are changing.
Maybe.
Again, I hate to agree with FP, but they are chasing two teams with no playoff experience.
By the way, FP, if you ever listen to this, we'd love to have you on.
I'm indifferent.
Just so I can.
Your hair is great. That's about all I have.
You're a handsome dude. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to get into the FP conversation now. I love FP.
I know you do.
I do.
And if I hear "there goes the no more hitter" one more time.
But he's paying homage to Felipe Alou.
I don't care. It makes me want to put a bat through my TV.
All right. Let's move on. Just a couple more real quick stats that really I found interesting. They were the best defensive team in the National League up until they had a few errors this past week. They're still second best. But this is the one, and we're talking about timely hitting. The thing I found the most interesting, in all of baseball, Major League Baseball, the Nats have the 10th most in leaving runners in scoring position per game, 3.5. And they're 7th most in the major leagues in leaving runners on base at 7.02. That says it right there, I think.
I do too. Yeah. I completely agree with you. I mean, if you're not going to knock people in, one of the most interesting things I've heard this year is Daniel Murphy was explaining to, maybe it was Eric Burns, I can't remember exactly who he was talking to, about the shift. And maybe you were telling me about this, about how when he goes up there, he sees the shift. Daniel Murphy is more than capable of slapping into the backside, right?
That's who he was for most of his career until he started hitting for power, yeah.
Right, but what's he get paid to do? Hit doubles, get on second base, and score.
Correct.
Because
he's not paid to play defense.
Correct. So in his mind, a double is a single away from a run. But if you hit three singles, you still might not even have a run. Right. So he's trying to hit gaps, which I get, right? But you can only have so many people that have that mindset.
The shift is, that's another, again, whole nother conversation, but it bothers me that a lefty stands up there and he's got four guys on the right side of the infield. Or he's got three guys on the right side of the infield in the third baseman slash shortstop, whatever. Who gives a crap what their position is either over second base or just to the left of it. And he doesn't go once or twice a week, I'm going to lay a bunt down.
Okay, but here's the counter argument to that, whether or not I agree, right?
Okay.
Here's your argument.
Go ahead.
You're Bryce Harper. You're sure. Getting paid $30 million a year.
Sure.
$40 million a year. What happens if by getting an extra hit a week, you hit 10 less home runs that year? What happens if you go from a 40 guy to a 30 guy? And then all of a sudden, that's 10 less RBIs. That's 20 less RBIs that you've driven in.
But what's your on-base percentage?
Same.
Is it?
Let's say it's 20 points higher. 20. And your run total's the same. You still are good for 100 runs a year.
But if you drop one bunt a week for a base hit, and there are how many weeks in a baseball season? 25?
Right.
It's an extra 25 hits a year. That's a pretty sizable number.
Sure. I absolutely agree with you. That'll help your average when you're hitting 230.
But it also helps your team.
It will.
And you'll start seeing in that situation. My point is, in that they'll start shifting back.
I don't think they will because...
You don't think so? Okay, maybe not.
I think that they're going, oh, a walk's a hit, right? It's the old adage that what we grew up with, a walk is as good as a hit. Well, that's completely rewritten.
See, I was the type of hitter I heard that every time I was at the plate.
Right.
Because then walk's as good as a hit. Right. I'm like, oh, okay, so I'll just sit with the bat on my shoulder? I was a better pitcher than I was a hitter. I was terrible.
It's not like that in Major League Baseball anymore. Yeah. Neither of those. Those are the same thing, and a home run's four times better.
Three outcomes. Strikeout, walk, home run. Yeah, it's dominating.
The game evolves.
Yeah. So the last thing we're going to talk about the Nats for this week. In your mind, what's it going to take for them to win a division? Can they do it? And if so, how?
Oh, they got to go on a run.
Yeah?
They got to run every 10 games, 6-4, 7-3.
Oh, yeah. Minimum, yeah.
Easy. You're going to need Atlanta and Philly to get tired. To start getting, tight come September.
You know, those two teams have not been great since the middle of June. They just haven't been.
The East is not a very good division.
It's not. You have three teams that are over 500, which... Well, actually, teams in the National League can say that. But you're 100%. They're ripe. The division's ripe for the picking. I mean, they picked up two games in a week.
Yeah, and I mean, just think of this. Silver lining for all you Nats fans. At least you're not 41 and a half games out of first place.
Can the Orioles finish 60 games out?
Oh, easy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hoping for above 300 this year. You know what, though? Silver lining, the Orioles are just as bad.
They are. That's terrible. Crazy. Even, what's his name? Dayton Moore came out. He said he's embarrassed by the team. I'm like, what did you expect? You lost Lorenzo Cain, Eric Hosmer. Like, what did you expect? You didn't backfill. Like, you didn't...
I don't know what the Orioles expected.
I expected the Orioles to be better. I did.
Sure, yeah.
I thought their offense would be better. For the love of God, their offense has been terrible.
Well, it's funny. I mean, we're talking about Mike Trout having the best statistical season ever. Chris Davis is going to have the worst statistical season ever. Yeah. But hey, at least when he drives around Baltimore... Something happens to your car, he can pick it up, and you can change your tire.
He's a wonderful man. I think for the Nationals, the win of the division, I agree with you, 6-4 minimum. I think they got to start winning the majority of the series they play. I think that doesn't even need to be said. I think they can do it. I think they need a healthy Steven Strasburg.
Oh, I agree. And what, 16 games left against Philly and Atlanta?
Yeah, 9 against Philly. 7 against Atlanta, and 4 of them are next week. They have a doubleheader and then 2 games.
11-5.
Yeah, I think 11-5 in that stretch. I think you got 3 games left against Cincinnati. You've got a doubleheader tomorrow, Saturday the 5th, and then the game Sunday. I think you got to take at least 2 or 3 there, and then I think you got to take 3 or 4 against Atlanta. I think you have to. And Scherzer's going to start one of the games against Atlanta. There's an outside chance that Strasburg's back. I don't think he will be. There's an outside chance. This team goes where their offense is going to score runs if they continue to get right. I don't want to say get hot, get right. Adam Eaton, Daniel Murphy have to get right. Bryce Harper's got to get right. If they get right, the offense is going to score runs. And then if the starting pitching follows, the bullpen can back them up. That's what it's going to take.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the Redskins real quick. Well, not real quick. Usually the Redskins lead off these kind of things, man. They're the DC royalty. But the start of the Alex Smith era.
I'm so super for it.
Are you?
Absolutely.
I am too. I when they traded for him,
I was actually surprised. I came out of nowhere.
Oh, I was floored. But I said to myself, it was an option I didn't even know they had, first of all. And second of all, they replaced Kirk with Kirk.
Right, just an older version. An older, cheaper, safer version.
And more loyal version.
Yeah.
Alex Smith's been loyal everywhere he's been.
Hey.
Look at the contract Kirk signed. Again, Kirk is Bryce. I don't want to... We could get sucked into the Kirk vortex, but look at the contract Kirk signed. He could have signed a 5-6 year deal if he wanted to. He had that kind of leverage. He signed a 3-year deal that was it fully guaranteed? I think it was fully guaranteed for $86-87 million because he wants another big contract. Now, it's his right. He's earned that right. 100% earned that right. But we replay Alex Smith's 34 years old. I think he just turned 34. So it's possible that he's got 5 good years left, right? Realistic that it's at least 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So Kirk was going to sign. Kirk was not re-signing here.
No.
So they replaced him with the options that they had. They replaced him with the best possible.
Absolutely. Yes, definitely. And it's a heck of a lot better than going into the season with Colt McCoy as your starting quarterback.
Oh, did you see the contract he got this week?
I can't believe. I cannot.
What's it, $7-8 million or something like that?
Why?
Where's he going to go?
I don't know.
He's not going to start anywhere.
That's a lot of money.
For a backup quarterback, you're damn right it's a lot of money.
You mean for Colt McCoy?
For any backup.
Go bring David Carr back out.
Yeah. It's, you know, I don't know.
Hell, let's sign Ryan Leaf.
No, please. Oh, is he in jail?
Bryce Harper's Ryan Leaf without the drug problem.
Oh, my God. That is...
Bust! I'm just kidding.
Oh,
that was
man.
Too far.
You need to say just kidding a little bit louder. Is Alex an upgrade from Kirk?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be almost the exact same stats, less interceptions. I think you're going to see less big plays.
Do you?
Or I think he surprises everyone, and I think it's going to be like week one last year when he came out firing. I think he threw for 350 yards. Now, I don't think we have the weapons that Kansas City has.
No.
I think we have a similar tight end. Maybe a more athletic tight end.
But we have two of them.
Right.
Burns still got some... He's still got some gas in the tank.
He does, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, two solid pass-catching tight ends. I just hope Jordan... I mean, what did the Redskins season come down to?
Jordan Reed got hurt. Injuries.
Right.
But Jordan got hurt. And Trent Williams got hurt and wasn't 100%.
The entire team got hurt. Let's just put it out there.
It was a mass unit, 100%. I don't think he's got the weapons, especially, and that was one of my questions, who's he going to throw to? Doxson is a wild card.
Paul Richardson's a wild card.
Yeah, Paul Richardson's a wild card.
If Jamison Crowder can, if he gets to play a slot, if you're going to run a three set, three wide, and he's going to sit in the slot, he's going to have 80 receptions. For 700-800 yards.
Look what he did a couple years ago.
Right, exactly.
The question is, a lot of the knock on Kirk was that he was too safe.
See, I don't... It was almost like weird decision-making, right?
Yeah.
In some ways, he was far too safe. And other times, you're like, why the hell is he throwing the ball there?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know if it's experience. I don't know if it's nerves. I don't know what it was, but... Yes, I would agree for the 80% of the time he was too safe. But then other times, he comes out like a gunslinger and is just trying to Brett Favre balls into little windows and they're getting picked off. Like, throws that no one's going to make, right? Like, why? So I think you saw both sides of it, right? Up and down. Like,
yep.
I think we'll all remember the game against Cleveland when he came in. You know, started, saved the day. What, 3 touchdowns?
I was there.
Yeah.
I was in Cleveland for that game. That was amazing.
Do you remember it?
I do, surprisingly. It's a little hazy towards the end. I got really cozy with some Cleveland Browns fans in the end zone.
They're really good people.
They are, because they've been beaten down. And they're just like, hey,
it's not about the football, man.
No, but they're also like, I'm really happy for you. I was like, that's really nice. This isn't Philly.
No, it's, I mean,
yeah.
They didn't try and kill Santa.
They did not. And they didn't break Chief Z's leg. I think the big thing is, one thing I've heard this week, and the first couple weeks of training camp are always roses, unicorns, and rainbows, but you hear that Alex is throwing the ball before the receiver breaks. He's throwing it into windows that the defenders didn't even know were there. And we have some pretty good defenders. You know, Josh Norman's not bad. And they're frustrated because they're saying he gets the offense. Jay Gruden came out and said it's not about Alex what to call, it's what not to call, because he can run the whole offense. And then that's the next thing I was going to get into. What do you think of this subtle shade that these guys are throwing at Kirk?
I like it.
I love it.
Because I think Kurt started it. I think that choir boy, I drive a minivan, you know, I'm perfect. Nah, it's all a show. That 100%. Guy, I mean, that guy is so... Oh, don't even get me started on that. No, it's so disingenuous.
It isn't. He had his quote early, and I'm going to butcher the quote, but this is a paraphrase. He was basically like, I'm the guy now in Minnesota. What were you the last... You were the starting quarterback of the Washington Redskins. What were you? You were the guy.
Right.
You were Jay Gruden's guy. Like, yeah, okay, the front office didn't respect you. They didn't offer you the extension you felt you deserved after your first good season. I get all of that. And then it was really about getting as much leverage as possible to make as much money as you want. You're entitled to that. You've earned that. But don't go and say, I wasn't the guy. Who was the guy if it wasn't you?
Right.
Who?
I mean, and also, you have to look at it from an organizational standpoint, right? You traded the farm that we're finally digging ourselves out of for RG3.
That's true.
And whoever had the foresight to draft Cousins, that was brilliant.
Mike Shanahan.
That's because he wanted all along.
Correct.
So, well, that's a whole nother discussion.
It is.
But, that'll like, you have to understand the dynamic. Like, you were never going to play. It didn't matter what RG3 did, right? Didn't matter what Bob did. Super Bob, lame Bob, hurt Bob, Grandpa Bob, didn't matter. Like, you're invested too heavily in RG3.
RG3 got more chances than I think any quarterback in recent memory.
Achilles Smith. I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
That was a good pull.
I was like, yeah, that was a really good pull. Tim Couch. But no, I think RG3 got more chances than anybody. He's still getting them.
Brady Quinn.
Well, I was thinking Matt Leinart might be a guy that got a lot of chances, but he got more chances with the Redskins before the Redskins finally went, we got to wash our hands of this. And that was because they had Scott McLuhan and Jay Gruden who were like, this has got to go. And Dan Snyder was finally willing to let it go. But,
I mean,
you're right about Kirk, though. He always had that chip, like, I shouldn't have even been drafted here.
Right, but get this, right? Let's say he's a fourth or fifth round pick somewhere else. He might not have ever played a game.
Oh, totally.
He might be on somebody's practice squad right now.
He could be Colt McCoy.
Yeah. I mean, Colt McCoy. Pretty good.
For a game? For coming in relief?
I mean, he's Colt Brennan.
Oh, man, remember that?
Yep, I love those years.
We were at that game,
yeah.
That preseason game where he went off, and people were like, oh, my God.
Man, those were some bad years.
There are people with his jersey.
Yep, those were really bad.
You know what's funny?
Dark years for Redskins
fans. Wasn't it Shuler's number? Didn't he wear number 5? Yeah, bad choice. Nobody should ever wear that number again. Real quick, what do you think of Darius Geis and his potential to combine with Chris Thompson?
I think it's going
to
be awesome.
Oh, I do, too.
I hope he's not a Matt Jones. I hope he can hold on to the ball. That's what,
yeah. That's what I mean with every running back, right? But when they drafted him, they said, "Oh my God, this guy," and he had some issues on paper, not on the field, but he had issues where they called into question his character. And then everything he's done since he's been drafted is to go, "That's not me."
Right.
He went out to a movie theater in Ashburn, bought tickets for everybody, or whatever it was, bought popcorn, whatever it was. He has been the most visible,
happy,
and friendly, fan-friendly guy. I am so excited to see him run the football. And I'm excited for Thompson to come back. And I think that now that they have, hopefully, have a feature back, and they have can't call him Fat Rob anymore. Apparently he's Skinny Rob. But they have Rob. They could put the two of them can eat up first and second down, and then Thompson comes in passing situations. I'm really excited about that. I feel like it's a running attack that we haven't had in a while. We had good running attacks under Shanahan, but that was, I think, was more system.
I was definitely scheme oriented.
Yeah. I think I'm really excited about that. And that would be going to my, that's the thing I'm most excited about, is to see what Alex Smith does with the offense. What was Jay Gruden hampered by Cousins? And can he finally now open his wings, spread his wings and fly, because he's got a quarterback that understands his offense? What do you think?
I would agree with you. I think you'll see a different offense. I don't think you're going to see three straight fades.
No, I don't think you're going to see that either.
But again, that, you know, the running game is going to look like, if you can pick up 2 yards and you're on the six, you're scoring a touchdown on your third down. Like,
simple math.
Yep. 3 times 2 is 6.
That's that Annandale High School education.
Yeah, man.
Kicking in. What worries you? What bothers
Health.
You?
Health. I mean, that's, you're just waiting for the bottom to drop out. And I'm a Redskins fan, so they're going to suck.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen. They're going to go like 5-11.
I think I saw today the ESPN, their prediction is that they go 2-14.
That's going to be a rough year.
Yeah. I don't see how that's possible.
I mean, what are our 2 wins against the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Because they're the worst team, in my mind, in the division.
Yeah.
I think the Giants could be a surprise team. Eli's what, 45?
I think he's 38 or something around there.
I think he's
45 is a good enough number. He's looked like he was 45 since he was drafted. So
I mean, yeah, he's basically moving around with a cane. But that's a good thing, right?
Or is he Benjamin Button? Is he going the other way?
You play in your own skin.
That's right.
So it's been the same person. He's like, oh, I can't elude this, so I'm going to throw the ball 14 rows up.
I think he's growing into his face, though. I think he's getting to the age that his face looks.
Yeah.
I think he's growing.
It's the haircut.
It is. But I know injuries is always the biggest thing. I think it's the biggest thing with any team. I think with the Redskins, for me, what worries me is Jordan Reed, and that would be injuries. But if he stays healthy,
right? I mean, you're looking at what, freak injuries? I mean, it really has, and it's been freak compounding injuries, like the toe on top of the toe on top of the toe, stuff that couldn't heal.
Or Trent Williams, who played on a bad knee. Waited till after the season to have surgery because he played on a bad knee.
And Kerrigan.
And
you get Jonathan Allen back.
Yeah, that was the biggest. That was the backbreaker. When they had Jonathan Allen in last year,
couldn't run the ball.
No, they look like a totally different defense. And they just drafted that kid from Alabama.
Who's hurt?
But they signed Zach Brown back, which is awesome.
I was surprised by that, actually.
I was too. I was surprised he didn't get more heat from other teams.
It's really weird the Redskins making sound football decisions. I know I've said this for a while. I mean, they really have turned it around, starting with McLuhan. Like, it's odd, you know? I'd like to go out and sign Deion Sanders and Dana Stubblefield.
Sometimes, just to get that, it's like that little bit of hair on in you.
Right. I mean, you know, because I want to sell jerseys.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I don't want to give Bruce Allen credit for anything. I hate Bruce Allen. I think he's one of the worst things that's ever happened to this franchise, but the one thing that
he's... How dare you? George Allen was a saint.
Did I say George Allen?
Well, that's the spawn of George Allen.
Yeah.
The spawn of a god.
After you shoot it out, there's nothing you can do, man.
I mean, everything can't be a winner, right?
My point is, the one thing... Bruce Allen's one strength is negotiating contracts. And
marketing.
Marketing, yeah. And he's... But it's... His biggest thing was negotiating contracts, and he's made good, sound decisions in that. What does it take, aside from staying healthy, what does it take for the Redskins to make the playoffs or win the division? Anything? Can they do it?
I think that 11-5 either at least gets you in the wild card. I think that the East will have two teams, whether it be the Eagles and Redskins or Eagles and Giants. I'll give credit to the Eagles. I mean, you got a guy that was going to win the MVP.
Carson Wentz, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if they can carry that magic on. You know, I think they were one. I don't know. I mean, I still think that. I know it's crazy. I think the Giants are the team to beat.
That's an interesting point of view. I'm really curious to see, if we're talking about the NFC East, I'm curious to see what the Carson Wentz-Nick Foles thing does when Wentz is ready to play.
I think Nick Foles just wants to be surfing and could care less about playing and was like, hey, man, I'm just going to come in and win the Super Bowl and then I'm going to go back to not getting hit.
But he's got a real chance after this year to make a lot of money.
He already could have made it. He already had that opportunity, right?
Well, he came the back first... because he thought he was going to – he's going to be the starter week
He didn't one. Even want to play football.
Well, no, he was ready to retire.
Because, yeah, man, he's cool. He's just a California dude, man.
So you don't think they'll have any impact on
Absolutely
him?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I think they're going to be best buddies. They're going to be SpongeBob and Patrick.
I like that. That's a good one. Thanks. SpongeBob and Patrick. I would have said Nate and Josh, but, you know.
I mean, it works.
Yeah, either one. I think health, certainly. I think Alex has to absorb the offense immediately.
Which it appears that he has. It
appears that he has. And the defense has to take a step forward. And Allen has, again, injuries, has to stay healthy all year. But the defense has to take a step forward and actually show that they can stop somebody consistently and make big stops on third down.
I agree with you. But I will say this. That patchwork defensive core, your defensive backs, your safeties, with the 47 different combinations they had, which is obviously not true, but all the different combinations that they cycled through because of the injuries, it was better than I thought it was going to be. They played really well for it being a different person next to you every game.
Yeah, no, I was pleasant, actually, which would sound weird. I was pleasantly surprised by the defense last year.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see what they're going to do this year, especially with Allen back and with Brown now that he's got the – it was a three-year deal, right, that they got him back on. And I'm excited. It's second year of the system for them. I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah, does Preston Smith make the jump?
And he's in a contract year.
Right.
So
– I mean, there's no reason that those two, him and Kerrigan – can't have.
Kerrigan's great at pass rushing.
Right.
Run stopping and coverage, it's a little different.
But if you have Allen and Payne in there,
right,
you have two people that are the size of three people.
Sorry.
You're basically playing with you're playing a five
with
man
the,
front.
With the Alabama defensive line.
Right. You're playing a 3-4. Well, it's actually a 5-4.
Yeah. And that was what Allen was last year. He was a wrecking ball in the middle of the, right, of the defensive line.
It takes two people. You're going to have, right, two people that are going to require double teams.
Right. And that'll help free up
outside pass rush.
And if they can rush, force the quarterback to throw the ball half a second earlier, you make Josh Norman look better. You look DJ Swearinger look better. I if all of that falls into place, man, they could have a run. They could win 10, 11 games.
Now, I do need to put this caveat out there that I've learned all my football knowledge from Madden.
From Madden.
So that's how I read defenses.
Sure.
I only know.
What's Alex Smith's rating?
I have no idea.
Probably 83 or whatever it is. I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably something like that.
Somewhere on there. Mid-tier. The last thing I'll say, and then we'll close this thing out. I did see, I want to say again, it was ESPN. They did a ranking of quarterbacks. 1 through 32, I think it might have been. Or it might have been 1 through 40, considering Wentz and Foles, right, and all that stuff. They had, and I don't know if they were just trolling, Cousins and Smith were ranked the same. They were tied for 15th.
Right, because they're the same quarterback.
They really are. They really are. But one wants to be here, and the other wanted anything.
Never wanted to be here.
Never wanted to be here. Didn't want to be here. I don't blame him to a point because of the RG3 situation. And there was a time when RG3 was still starting when Kirk Cousins could have legitimately gone, I'm the number one quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's in the past. And the last thing I said, but this is the last thing. Somebody made a note of this on Twitter, and I agree with it. In the last 5 to 6 years, this is the first Redskins camp where there's been absolutely no controversy.
It's been pretty lame.
Which is great.
Right.
Boring is good.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird. It's just getting through the preseason healthy. I'm really looking forward to seeing, they're not going to show much. Gruden's a great offensive mind. He's a great offensive mind. I think there's great potential for the offense to be crazy good.
Yeah.
Crazy good. They have a good offensive line, not a great offensive line, but a good offensive line. You have a future Hall of Famer, in my opinion, in Trent Williams. You've got one of the top guards in Brandon Scherff. You've got one of the a top-tier right tackle in Morgan Moses. They have a good offensive line.
Yeah.
They have two good – you have one who could be great tight end, and you have one good tight end. The receivers are where the question mark is. Your slot guy's good, Crowder. Richardson and Doxon on the outside.
That was a lot of money to pay Richardson.
It was a lot of money.
I mean, it's fine. You know, you have to take gambles.
And
I appreciate the fact that they're continuing to take gambles even after Terrell Pryor, really. shit the bed.
He did, and they're hopefully calculated gambles. It was interesting, and we'll talk about this next week, but that Zach Brown talked a little trash about Terrell Pryor. Said they were going to take some cheap shots because they're doing
Jerseys.
Yeah, they're doing joint practice next week.
Now they can actually hit him.
Yeah, that was interesting. Anyway, that's all I've got today, man.
I mean, I've got a lot of other thoughts. I just can't share them on a podcast.
Maybe you could do your own and just release it on the dark web.
It's probably not good. No. Not a good idea.
You're a professional. You have another career to think about.
No, not really.
No?
I'm just here, man. Just happy to be here.
Just living life, man.
I'm the Nick Foles of this podcast.
Just throwing your hair up like it's crazy, man. All right, it's all I've got, man. This is, it's about time. We're closing it out for the first time. I enjoyed it, man.
Yeah, hopefully we'll do always it
again.
A pleasure.
Yeah, man, we'll do it again next week. And we will see you guys next week. Take care.